The second reading says, "Seek what is above, not the things of earth." So I thinking of seek what is above made me think of a story. One of my favorite themes, and it is Jesus's as well, is do I recognize my opportunity when God offers it? And will I recognize true value from false value? We hear a lot about real news and fake news. You know, the real news, the good news is Jesus Christ. And those who don't see him, it's not true. But we have to come to that understanding ourselves. God hides himself. And most importantly, he hides what is truly valuable so that we must seek it. Everybody is seeking something. They may not know if it's God or not, but we're all seeking a fulfillment, a happy life, things, experiences, meaning to life. We are by our nature seekers. Many who came into the church last night were seeking. That's why they questioned, they came, they took the class, they took the plunge, literally, into the pool. And I had to go home and take back pills after 32 of those. The water was too low. I was way over, almost came in a couple of times. The things you don't know at a service. I want to tell you about the time. You know, most of you know I worked for American Airlines for over a decade. It colors my life even now. That was so long ago. We had all kinds of opportunities to do things in addition to the travel benefits, which in those days, were, if any of you worked for an airline 30 years ago, it was a fabulous thing to do. Today, not so much. Planes are too full to get on. But I used to be able to fly anywhere I wanted to, and they'd give us like 50% off of the best hotels so that we would plug them, you know, and so on, and good deals on travel packages and things. So there was one time when they offered us a chance to fly on the Concorde. Anybody ever fly on the Concorde? Is there anybody that did this? Ah, I got you all beat. Anybody ever been on the Concorde? Nobody's been on the Concorde? Come on. Didn't you have a cool $5,000 to put down for that flight? Right. No? Huh?
Pride?
I haven't finished this story yet. Judge, she's saying pride. Judge, yeah, you better. I have confessions next Wednesday, honey. Hey, a little jealousy never hurt anybody. If it was so great, I wouldn't have given it up, okay? It gets old pretty fast. If I never go stand by again, I'll be happy, okay? But anyway, they offered us a chance to fly on it so we'd plug it. See, that was the whole point. It was a familiarization thing that all travel people are familiar with. I have this little memento of when I was on the Concorde. And if you, anybody who flew into JFK during the years, by the way, and anybody who doesn't know what this is, it flew at twice the speed of sound. Today, no civilian can do this. I was talking to Jim Lyman, who's our handyman around here. Do you know he flew an F-16, and he flew at much more than twice the speed of sound himself? How about that? I didn't know that until today. But in those days, you could get on this thing and fly at Mach 2. Isn't that cool? And so anyway, for $300, I could have a trip from JFK over to Heathrow or Paris, I can't remember which one, in London. And so if you were to fly in on a regular plane, that's why I say I need a prop, you know, like prop chop. Anyway, this is a tough audience here, I'll tell you. Am I dating myself with this stuff? But, you know, you'd fly in on a regular airplane, and if you hit the right terminal, you'd see two or three of these sitting there. You know, I'll tell you, it's just like Star Trek or something. These things were so beautiful. And I can't remember when they went out of service, but it was quite a while ago. The tickets were very expensive. But when you go on the thing, it's every seat is like first class, okay? And it's a very narrow tube, so it's quite claustrophobic. And I had a chance to see the cockpit, which it really looked like a spaceship. Today, of course, probably not so hot. But the wings are so large that there was almost no view except of the wings, see? It was a delta wing. And when it took off, it sounded like the end of the world. It was so noisy. But when it hits Mach 1, you can't tell. Mach 2, you can't tell. The only way you can tell is that you arrive 2 hours before a 747 that takes off at the same time. Now, the danger with me is I could fly to Europe and coach for $5. Are you jealous now? Pride, pride, pride. I hope so. Or first class for $50. 300 versus 50. Anyway, that's a description of being on it. And I'll tell you, even today, at the end of that thing when it was flying, somebody was telling me after Mass, and it's true, each seat was $10,000. It was about to go out of service. I'll tell you, I don't know who the richest man in the world is. I guess it's Bezos, right? Is that, I'm pronouncing that right? Or Bill Gates or somebody like this, Warren Buffett. All their money combined, you can't do it now. That opportunity is gone forever. Someday it may come back, but I'll bet you it's only going to be for the rich and famous. Yep. You and I will never get this chance again. So when I was on the Concorde, they passed these out when you came out the back end. And I had a chance to go to Midtown Manhattan some years ago with some priest friends. We went on a retreat and with Father Benedict Groeschel. And afterward, we went to Midtown Manhattan. My friend wanted to see the aircraft carrier Enterprise, which is quite interesting. Not as interesting as he thought. He was on it for 3 hours, and I'm thinking, oh, brother, not another gunboat. But anyway, next to it was a Concorde that was mothballed, and it's still there. I went in the front and saw the cockpit. I went out the back, and I got this. I never flew on the Concorde. I missed my opportunity when God offered it to me, okay? So I keep this on my desk along with a few other mementos of lost opportunities. One could, how about Apple stock that somebody thought wouldn't go anywhere? You know, that kind of thing. Hasn't everybody had this experience of missing something valuable? It's often a loved one that dies suddenly. We had one that Evelyn Zelinsky died at the beginning during Holy Thursday Mass, very suddenly. A shock to me. We prayed for her. If any of you were here at the oils, I said, somebody's dying. It was her. I couldn't say it then. And, you know, the chance to say goodbye to a loved one is much more valuable than this. But we don't know it until it happens. We don't know how valuable people are until suddenly they step out of our lives and we have memories. And that goes for experiences, too. And Jesus Christ is like this. He's infinitely more valuable than this little trinket and that experience, which probably wouldn't have amounted to much except for bragging rights, right? I mean, let's face it, who needs two? For $10,000, I'll take the 747, thank you very much, right? But Christ doesn't look valuable. That's why so many people throw him out. I've had a lot of funeral meetings in my life. I didn't know I was going to be a funeral specialist when I started this route. But it turns out I've lost most of my family too. So when I bury somebody, it's always a member of my family. But so often, you see that both there and in the world at large, people value often the wrong things. They don't realize how valuable that person was till they're gone. And I see people in the world, we all need to have money, and we all want to look good. We all would like to be thought well of. We would all like to have travel experiences, wouldn't we? We like to see things and enjoy life, have pleasure, and all of those things are good. But if that's what I think life is, we are going to be disappointed in the end. Those things do not last. And if I want health, God knows I've had enough health problems over the years, but there comes a time when our health will not be there. Our money will do us no good. Our travel experiences, who wants to hear about your travel experiences? Even my mother didn't want to hear my travel experiences. Want to see my refrigerator? It's covered with magnets. Nobody cares. I buy them so I can remember where I've been because I'm forgetting. I don't care if you see them. There's a thing called many people are materialists around us here in Oregon and throughout the world. You know, if materialism could bring you happiness, this country would be the happiest country on earth. We have had more blessings in this country. Maybe it's not so much now, isn't it? It's a little bit tougher now than it used to be, but this country has been so blessed with materialism. We're not high on the happy scale here, guys. You know, it fails us in the end because our hearts are infinite. We are infinite beings in a temporal world. And Christ gives us a lifetime to figure it out, to figure out what's important and what's not. I can tell you at the end of our lives, what's important is my family, the people I have loved, who I've touched in life, and hopefully my faith that there is something after death, because there is. But you're not going to find it with the five senses. We might. God knows we have enough hints. My favorite one, frankly, is the fact that we all began as one cell. I can't understand this. How can one cell grow by itself with only the help of its mother and father and turn into the most complex thing in existence at this point, as far as we know, in the whole universe, and that is your brain? No computer can come close to it, put together by itself. Every detail is in that one original cell. And each of us have had this experience. You can believe it's all chance if you want. I think that takes more faith than that there is a creator. What is not obvious is that that creator loves us, that he died for us. That is a gift that God must give you, or you must find. But all of us must at some point realize that what we're seeking is not enough. It's that longing in our heart for something more. That's why every Christmas we want something else. You know, I've said this before. 2 years ago was the iPhone 6, then it's the iPhone 7. That gets old and we take an Android. I'm an equal opportunity plugger, you know. You got an 85-inch TV, your neighbor gets a 100 and you're jealous, right? If you think you're going to find happiness that way, good luck to you, because it does bring a certain amount of pleasure, doesn't it? But we're seeking something deeper. And this universe doesn't offer it. If I lived forever on Earth, there would come a time when I'd seen every spot on Earth. Would be enough. If we could travel like the Starship Enterprise, please God, I'd love to be on that, and travel the stars, there would come a time when we'd seen the whole galaxy, and it wouldn't be enough. That's just the way it is. And I'll tell you, 100 years is not enough on this Earth. There are so many things I wanted to do. I wanted to be a piano player so badly. I don't have time. My parents, however, did get me an accordion. Do you know there are more accordion players in the ministry than anything else? Couldn't get a date. I'm just kidding. Well, who wants an accordion at a party, you know? Didn't find any fulfillment in that, I can tell you that. I just invite you to think about us believers and visitors. What am I seeking? You know, what is faith an opportunity that I'm missing, chasing after another plane that is going to land and leave you stranded in the end? This life, our long life, is an opportunity, like this chance I had that lasted over a year. I let it pass by. It flew by, and it never came again. We too are at this inflection point. It's called life. What will my choice be? Will it be for God or for myself? Selfishness or selflessness? Meaning or temporary? It's up to us.